Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Ron's Amazing Stories. We have stories that should thrill you a little and chill you a little.
It's amazing.
You will hear adventures sent in by you guys, classic stories from the pulp mags, and episodes from the golden age of radio. We have special segments like Ghost Stories with Sylvia.
That's amazing.
And the paranormal with Jason.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
So settle in for the next hour and enjoy the show. Oh, and you just might want to prepare yourself to be taken away from today.
Another 5-minute mystery.
This 5-minute mystery is being brought to you by darkness. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only the light can do that. Martin Luther King said that. Our story shows us darkness at its very root.
Police headquarters, Inspector Craig.
What? What did you say?
We'll be right over.
What's up, Inspector?
Plenty. That was Gregory Laurie, the art dealer. He just called to say he killed his brother.
Oh, hello, Inspector. I'm glad you've come. Something dreadful has happened.
So I gathered over the phone. Where's the body?
Body? Oh, you mean Alec. In the library on the floor.
Which way is the library?
That door to the right. All this has unnerved me completely.
I can understand. Come on, Pepper. You too, Laurie.
Yeah, not a very pretty, Inspector.
Shot through the stomach.
Jeez, he looks awful. His face is all twisted.
Twisted as it is, Mr. Laurie, there's quite a resemblance.
Well, we were twins.
Oh.
He turned up unexpectedly this evening and well, you see, Peter was always the black sheep of the family, but he was my brother, and I killed him.
Please, finish your story.
Yes, of course. Well, as you know, I'm rather well known as an art dealer, collect famous paintings and all that, and sell them at a price.
Go on.
Well, Alec and I severed relations several years ago, long before he was sent to prison. We were very different. I was always aesthetic, loved beautiful things in life. I was happiest surrounded by my paintings or listening to good music.
Ain't it the truth, Mr. Laurie? It's the little things that count.
Shut up, Pepper. Go on.
Well, Alec, on the other hand, was more materialistic. He was only interested in acquiring money.
And he turned up here tonight?
Yes. He had come for the painting.
What painting?
That Botticelli there by the window.
Oh.
It's a rare original. You can see by the signature on it. I came by it through very good fortune. It's worth millions, of course. Alec wanted it. I refused. He drew an automatic.
Huh?
Pulled the gun, stupid.
Oh!
In the struggle that followed, he was shot.
Ah, I see. Well, then it was really self-defense. Mr. Laurie, if you're telling the truth, you haven't much to worry about.
That's just it, boss. This guy's not telling the truth.
What?
He's a phony, Inspector. This ain't Gregory Laurie, the art dealer. Begging your pardon, Inspector, but any dope could tell that.
What mistake did Laurie make that proved he was not telling the truth? Did you find the loophole in his story? In a moment you'll know, but first...
Well, then that makes me a dope, because I don't see what Pepper saw. My guess is that it's going to be some obscure fact that only an art dealer, or perhaps someone that has taken an art appreciation class, will know. What makes me think that? Well, I've already heard the solution.
And now, back to our mystery.
Are you sure, Pepper?
Certainly. The minute he talks about that genuine Botticelli, with the signature and everything, I had the guy pegged for a phony. Botticelli never signed none of his paintings. Any real art dealer knows that.
But, Pepper, how did you know that?
Me? Ah, it was nothing. I took a night course in art appreciation at City College. My wife thinks I ain't got enough culture. Boy, wait till I tell her this.
Well, Pepper, you have truly shown that darkness often comes with greed. It is a motive. Thank you for that. This 5-Minute Mystery was brought to you by Darkness, the human condition to be avoided.
What's that you said?
Welcome to the podcast. Today we take a walk on the dark side.
That sounds very scary.
Oh, it is. We have 3 stories that all include it in one form or another. The first one just might be the creepiest story to date on Ron's Amazing Stories. Then we head to Glacier National Park to witness a rip in time and space. In the last story, Tammy encounters an entity shrouded in darkness.
Are you serious?
Deadly. Jason Dowd is back with the second installment of The Paranormal with Jason. Today, he answers Camille's question about time slips.
No, that is too much.
I think we can handle it together. We have a response to the story, The Perfect Flight, from last week's podcast. It comes from Tom Williams. Tom is one of our top contributors and in fact has had his very own segment called Growing Up. Tom was raised in the South but now lives in Germany. You can listen to Tom's stories by going to the main website and searching for Tom Williams. Now, Tom didn't just write in, he has recorded his response, which I'll play for you right now.
Hello, Ron, and listeners, of course. In regards to your last podcast and to the story, The Perfect Flight, it reminded me of an incident that occurred also in the 70s. Although not paranormal, but nevertheless, another lesson had been learned. I was nearing the end of my flight training for my commercial check ride. The only requirements remaining were the logging of a number of night flight hours and night takeoff and landings, and then I would be ready for my exam for my commercial pilot license. My instructor was also a good friend, and we chose by chance a great night for fulfilling all my requirements and a pleasant evening of flying. Now, the flight took us south from Columbus to a county airfield about 35 miles away, and it was smooth and the sky was clear and the visibility was excellent. Hardly any traffic on the radio. The drone of the engine and the glow of the instrument panel was almost hypnotic. Now, we approached the county airport, which was closed, and I keyed the microphone, and this activated the runway light. I made the required landings, and the last one was to a full stop. Eric, my friend and instructor, said I was ready for my exam and I would do just fine. I taxied back to the run-up ramp and did my checklist. Just before I turned onto the runway to take off, I remembered I had a question for Eric. So I throttled back the engine and proceeded with a question, and it took only a minute for him to answer. As I lifted off and was about to make my departure from the traffic pattern, a glow filled the cockpit. It came from behind, and it even reflected off my propeller tips. Suddenly, from the rear of the aircraft came a meteor. Over the front of the aircraft and struck in the cornfield below us. This wouldn't be called a near miss, but had I not taken the moment to stop the takeoff to a question asked, and with the aircraft speed and in the process of a right turn, the possibility is we could have been struck. Which, with wide-eyed, we looked at each other, and of course, there went our night vision for a while. If you have a question, always ask. It may just save your life one day. Sincerely, Tom.
That is something, Tom. Tulane University has calculated the odds of getting killed by a meteorite at about 1 in 250,000. Now here's some other stats about being killed. Murder. Well, that's 1 in 185. A tornado is 1 in 60,000. By flood is 1 in 27,000. And in an airplane crash is 1 in 30,000. Now, by comparisons, the chances of winning Powerball are more than 1 in 195 million. So, Tom, I gotta say, you nearly became an outlier. Thank you for your story. One last note for this week. I'm removing the 21 episodes of The Horror Express from the main website on Friday, August 7th. These shows will be moved to their new home on archive.org and will have their very own URL. The link will be available on the main website when everything has been set up. This does not mark the end of the series, just a new home. Jason and I love the conductor and would never do wrong by him.
That is very wise, Ron.
Yeah. Didn't know you were here, Mr. Conductor. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, computer, Kindle. Whatever you have, you can listen to Audible on it. So what am I listening to right now? The Real Sherlock, an Audible original by Lucinda Hawksley. We've talked about Sherlock Holmes many times on the show, but what about the man behind the great detective? Of course, I'm referring to Sir Arthur Ignatius Conan Doyle. He wrote those stories that we can't get enough of more than 100 years ago. Something to think about. Don't you think?
Sherlock Holmes is the most portrayed fictional character of all time. But the best thing about this story is the author himself, Arthur Conan Doyle. Welcome to The Real Sherlock. Arthur Conan Doyle's own life was often stranger than fiction, and his most famous characters' stories and personalities bear more than a passing resemblance to his own experiences and his own closest friends. With unprecedented access to the Arthur Conan Doyle Estate archives, and with help from world-leading experts and renowned actors, we'll explore every aspect of Arthur Conan Doyle's life. We're going to learn about all Conan Doyle's written work, not just Sherlock Holmes, although the world-famous detective will get a look in. Hello, I'm Lucinda Hawksley, an author, lecturer, and fan of Arthur Conan Doyle. I'm going to take you on a journey into the life and world of one of Britain's best-loved writers and the characters he created. So I'd love to see some of the things you've brought with you today, because I understand you've brought all sorts of exciting things from your archives for us to look at.
A couple of bits and bobs, yes.
I'm with Arthur Conan Doyle's great-nephew, Richard Doyle, who's brought with him some family artifacts to show me.
And here is a towel.
What is inside the towel?
An inkwell.
Wonderful. So this was Arthur Conan Doyle's inkwell.
It was indeed.
Fantastic. Wonderful. What do we know about this? How did it come down to you?
This one came via my father, and I've got various notes and bits and pieces inside it. So
let's have a look at what these say. Inkpot of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle from his house in... Where's that?
That'd be Sussex, yeah.
So it's inkpot of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle from his house in Sussex. That's very exciting. Thank you so much.
The audiobook also looks beyond Sherlock to Doyle's other great works, including his fantasy and science fiction novels. It might surprise you to know that one of his most famous stories, The Lost World, inspired Michael Crichton's book of the same name, which became the successful Jurassic Park film franchise. The real Sherlock has stories, adventures, and interviews, including one from Doyle himself that was recorded in the late 1800s. Yes, I said 1800s. Truly amazing. You can have this book today. Here's what Audible has set up for us. Audible is offering a free audiobook and 30 days to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories, and you can get the real Sherlock. Thank you, Audible. And now, it's time for your stories.
These are your stories, sent by you, for you.
Our theme for this week's stories is darkness. All of the stories you will hear today have that element included. But why do we associate fear with darkness? Being afraid of the dark often starts in childhood and is viewed as a normal part of development. Studies focused on this phobia have shown that humans often fear the dark for its lack of any visual stimuli. In other words, people may fear the night and darkness just because they can't see what's around them. Our first story from the dark side comes from Ken Miyamoto, Madison, Wisconsin. Some of the scariest stories that we've ever had on the show have come from Wisconsin. I've always wondered why that is. Ken has titled his story, The Figure in the Dark Robes. I've told this to a select few, and while creepiest, scariest is subjective, in the context of my life, this one truly is. I was a freshman in high school in my hometown of La Crosse, Wisconsin. I was sleeping over at my friend Tom's house. We were watching a movie in his living room when he suddenly got a phone call. I watched as he listened to what was being said. I watched as emotion poured over his face and he threw the phone across the room. After a few moments of crying, he told me that a boy at my school had committed suicide. Now, I knew this boy only through seeing him in the halls. My friend Tom and I didn't go to the same high school, but Tom had gone to middle school with this boy. Apparently, Tom had bullied him during those years. He wasn't proud of it, and to be honest, I was pretty surprised because he was a great guy. We decided to sneak out and go for a walk. The year was 1990 or maybe 1991. Now, sneaking out was nothing new. We always did it. At the time, we weren't into drugs, alcohol, or even partying. We just liked the freedom of walking the streets at night. The discussions were always great. Normally, we would walk through the big cemetery that was near my house. It was behind the train tracks that still run through La Crosse to this very day. We loved the danger of the cemetery, the scares. We were kids, and it was the rite of passage. As we walked along the train tracks leading to the cemetery, we stopped. To this day, I can't explain why. We had walked to that cemetery dozens of times, and on scarier nights. But, for whatever reason, we didn't want to go in there tonight. I don't know if it was the thought of death on our minds due to my classmate's suicide, or something else. Without really saying anything to each other, we stopped, turned around, and decided to head down a nearby street. Now, in retrospect, I do have to say that throughout this walk, things seemed off. There wasn't a car in sight. Even walking through the town's main street was odd because there just weren't any people. It was after midnight, but it was a weekend night. Where was everybody? Perhaps it was just a strange coincidence. There was something in the air. Both Tom and I felt it. We even brought it up. "It feels weird tonight," I said to Tom. "The air, the lights, everything." "Yeah," Tom said. "I feel it too." We decided to walk down a dead-end street. At the end of the street was a ditch with a simple up, down, and up that led to the street that I lived on. Keep in mind, as I get into the horrifying part of this story, that we were in the suburbs. These weren't old, creepy houses with strange individuals. And the trees, well, they were small. It wasn't a brand new development, but it wasn't that old either. So, as Tom and I are walking down this street, we're looking down to the road beneath our feet as we talked. I don't remember the exact conversation at this particular moment. Perhaps we were talking about the tragedy of that night, but it could have just as easily have been about Star Wars or Akira. We loved our Japanese anime. As we approached the dead end, which was a few houses away, Tom and I suddenly stopped again. We did so at the same time without saying one word to each other. Our heads slowly turned towards each other, both sensing something. The hair on our arms and the back of our necks was standing up. Then our gaze slowly moved forward in unison, slightly to the right. That's when we saw it. About two houses away, in a virtually barren front yard of a suburban home, beside some bushes, was a dark figure. It was someone or something in dark robes. No face. No features at all, just the robe. It didn't acknowledge us, not yet. It instead walked or moved in a certain way. I can't articulate it correctly. It was as if it was walking in circles, slowly, without really walking. It held something that was blowing in the wind, and yes, the wind had picked up a little as well. Another odd element was the light that illuminated it. There was a street light right at the house, but the light seemed to shy away from the creature and form a shroud of darkness. Tom and I were frozen. In fact, I'm almost frozen as I write this. It's been a while since I've thought about that night. So there we were, frozen in fear, staring at this dark figure moving, yet doing so without moving. And it was holding something, or perhaps what was blowing in the wind was more of its robe. I'm not sure. We stared at this thing for I don't know how long until it stopped and suddenly looked up at us, as if finally alarmed by our presence. That was enough for us. We ran away as fast as we could. We cut through a side street, which led us to a parallel street towards my neighborhood. This street leads to a slight hill. As we rounded the corner and started running up the hill, in a panic, I might add, we stopped short, because on top of that hill we saw another dark figure with its arms raised. We turned around and ran the other way in the direction of Tom's house, which at this point was at least 5 miles away. We ran as fast and as hard as we could, yet somehow time stood still. The next thing I remember is we were lying in the middle of a courtyard in some other neighborhood that I've never been in before. We were gasping for breath. We sat up, and without saying a word, we walked in silence back to Tom's house. The air felt normal again, although we felt like we were in a haze of sorts. We went to bed and fell asleep. I woke up the next morning and went home. A few days later, I rode my bike back to the location where we saw the dark creature. Perhaps it was just shadow in play. Perhaps it was a certain tree or brush or maybe even a for sale sign or something like that that made it look like there was something else there. But there was nothing. It was just an open yard. Tom and I didn't speak of that night for a very long time. Years later, when I brought it up, he replied, "Yeah, what the heck was that?" As if no time had passed. What was it? I have no idea. I often wonder if it could have been a haunting, a specter, or a ghost, etc. Or maybe it was an alien abduction or sighting. We saw no craft, but there was that unexplained darkness. Maybe it was some other kids messing with us. But how would they have known that we would have been there at that time, and how could they have been so prepared? Ken Miyamoto, Madison, Wisconsin. I have no idea what you experienced, Ken. It has to be one of the scariest stories we've ever had on the show. I do have to ask the question if it had anything to do with the death of your schoolmate. Strange stories have come from those types of circumstances. I do know this. Thank you for sharing your story. This next story is something quite different. In this one, the dark is not the only thing to fear. It has been sent in by Blake Saunders, who lives somewhere in Oregon. Hello, Ron. I just had to tell you my story about a camping trip my wife and I took at Glacier National Park. It was something I will never forget. We had gone there with our friends Max and Gladys. It was the second night of camping. We were sitting around the campfire, and Max was quietly playing his guitar, all rather peaceful and serene. The sound of a hoot owl started up and joined the music. Then a quiet came over the forest. It was as if the whole world had just stopped. We all noticed it. Max thought that there must be a bear in the area, but that was unlikely this day and age. I remember looking up, and that's when I first saw the black blob. I don't know how else to describe it. It was circular, irregular, and oddly shaped. It was like a tear in the universe, and it was moving down on us. I tried to move. I don't know if it was fear or something that held us, but none of us could move. The darkness engulfed us, and I could feel it. I could no longer see anything, but I sure felt like something could see me. I wanted to scream, but again, there was nothing. Yet, there was something. It left as quickly as it came, and soon after, the forest sounds returned. None of us wasted a moment. We packed everything up, left the park, and found a motel some 10 miles away. Our problems didn't end there, though, because for the rest of the night, we heard footsteps on the roof. Was it a connection to the dark entity that we encountered? I really don't know. Blake Saunders, Oregon. Okay, Blake, that is just creepy. I've not heard of an encounter like this before. It defies any possible explanation and is quite terrifying. Thank you for sharing your story, I think. I just may have some bad dreams about this one. Our last story from the dark comes from Tammy Wells, who lives in Madison, New York. Tammy didn't want to write her story, so we chatted on the phone. I wrote it, and she approved it. It is called Darkness and Light. I'm not sure I believe in all things paranormal, but I'm sure that there's life after death, and because of that, I have to believe that it can spill over into our world, both things of the light and evil things of the night. I'm not sure when I was first afraid of the dark. I'm also not sure why, when I turn on a light, that fear fades away. Is light a superpower against evil? Probably not, but it seems to work for us human types. It was a Monday night, and I had just gone to bed. I was thinking about the day's events. It had been a tough day at work. My boss was on my back about an upcoming report, and my sister's baby was overdue. She and her husband were stressed and thought that somehow I could fix it all. I couldn't. My bedroom seemed dark. Yes, I know it's supposed to be, but it seemed darker than it should be. I was afraid. I was about to turn on the light when I heard a voice say, "Tammy." I felt a surge go through my very soul. It shook me to the core. I remember saying, "Who's there?" Silence. I reached for the light switch, but I couldn't find it. I felt around the wall, but it just wasn't there. I sat up in bed and turned toward the wall, frantically feeling for that switch. I remember thinking, why is it so dark? The voice came again. Tammy. I jumped from my bed with thoughts of making for the door. But my feet didn't land on soft carpet. The ground was hard, like cold stone. A chill surrounded me, and the air was dank, like I was in a cave. I looked around, but darkness was all I could see. Faint outlines of light shot about me like firebugs or tiny lightning strikes. Again came the voice. This time it was hollow and reverberated all around me. Tammy. I closed my eyes, and I think I screamed. I'm not sure. But this I could hear, and it seemed to break the spell. I opened my eyes, and I was standing in my bedroom. I ran to the wall switch, flipped it up, and the room flooded with bright and welcomed light. All was well. Was this a dream? It had to be, but it felt so very real. I tried to research what happened. The only explanation that made any sense was astral projection. Had I really traveled into the dark unknown? Was this truly an out-of-body experience? Well, something did happen. Today, I leave a light on in my bedroom every night. It gives me comfort, and since that time, I've never had any more trouble. Tammy Wells, Madison, New York. Well, Tammy, first let me say that it was a pleasure to talk with you. I too believe that something happened to you. I could hear it in your voice, and that fear, well, it sounded real. Thank you for telling me your story and allowing me to write it. Well, those are your stories for this time. If you have a story that you want to share, like Tammy did, head to the main website at ronsamazingstories.com and click on the story submission banner. And please remember to name your tale and tell me where you're from. Make your stories our stories. What is the paranormal? Experts tell us that it is the events or phenomenon that are beyond the scope of normal scientific understanding. But it's more than that. To people like Jason Dowd, it is a way of life. He faces each day in hopes of finding the answers to questions that few would think to ask or would want to ask. Welcome to The Paranormal with Jason. Well, welcome back, Jason.
Yes, how's it? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Last time I got some good feedback. People are still missing the Horror Express. I do have a little information I want to share about the Horror Express, if I might take a minute.
Go for it.
So what I'm thinking about doing is taking the 21 shows, the 21 Horror Expresses that we put together, taking them off the main website, actually donating them to the public domain, and giving them a home, a permanent home, on archive.org so that people can find them easier, listen to them. It doesn't mean the end of the Horror Express. But people have said, well, how do I listen to them? And they're so buried in Ron's amazing stories that they're actually quite difficult to find. And I'd like to get them their own home and donate them to the public domain. What do you think about that, Jason? Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I love that idea.
Essentially, they'll have their own URL. You'll be able to click on them and see all 21 episodes right there. And of course, the newer ones will stay at Ron's Amazing Stories. The old ones that we have done in the past will be a whole lot easier to find.
Well, we want people to listen to them, so that's important.
All right. You can expect that to be happening in the next couple of weeks. I will do a post on the main website, and of course, I'll tell you on the podcast here when the Horror Express has been moved. Well, Jason, how are you feeling? How are things going there in Florida? I know you guys have got a COVID issue.
Yeah, we have a COVID issue, but we've been finding out that so many of these numbers are false. So I don't know what to believe anymore. I know that they have been adding the flu and the bronchitis and pneumonia cases as COVID-19. So I'm not, like I said, I don't know what to believe anymore, but I'm just going to go live my life the way that I know how and enjoy myself and not worry about it. Other than that, it's been really good down here. I'm trying to plan for a Disney trip because right now the wait lines, even for like the Flight of Passage, is like 5 to 10 minutes long.
I've heard that.
And that is awesome. I mean, you go there and you feel like you're a VIP because nobody else is in the place. The only time you get the opportunity to do this is Disney After Dark. And that's if you're an annual pass holder, you have to pay an extra like $25 to $30. And literally from like 8, 9 o'clock at night, they close the park down to the general public. And there's like 10,000 people in the park, period. And wow. You can literally ride the rides all night long, nonstop. What normally is a 60-minute wait for 60 to 80-minute wait for Space Mountain, you can literally ride 6 times in the same night.
Wow.
How cool is that? You know, so, I mean, COVID sucks, and I hate that it's here, but it's going to make anybody that's going to go to Disney or one of the Disney parks a very happy person. So It's probably worth putting on the mask and going out there and suffocating in the heat because you're going to be able to do a lot of rides and have probably the experience of a lifetime.
I have a question for you.
Absolutely.
I bet that you have a unique mask. I bet you're not one of those guys that wear a surgeon mask.
If I did have a mask, it would have to be a cool mask, yeah. And, you know, I have like, everybody knows I love dachshunds. And so we ordered some that they're not the surgeon's mask, but they kind of look like one of those ones that go over your nose, underneath your chin, kind of down around your neck a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. And it says, guess what, wiener butt. I like that. You know, if I'm gonna have something, it's got to be sarcastic or funny. And this one that I have here looks like Hannibal Lecter. So I was gonna take like and draw like a Hannibal Lecter cage on the front of it, and I think that would be really cool. So it's gonna have to be something that is definitely meets my personality for sure.
Well, you're gonna have to send us a picture.
I will. If this thing doesn't kill me, I will.
All right. Well, we have an email. Now, this wasn't sent to Paranormal with Jason. It was more or less just sent to me. But I think it's a good topic for us to talk about today. And so if you don't mind, I'll just jump into this email.
Go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
All right. Well, it comes from Camille McLaughlin. And Camille lives in San Francisco, California. One of my favorite places on the planet, by the way. I love going to San Francisco. She says, "Hello, Ron." I think she meant Ron. "Sometime on your show, can you please explain just what a time slip is?" That's the email. Simple, easy, quick. Jason, do you want to tackle it first or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I guess we can do that. Now, what I believe a time slip is when you're walking down the hallway, you slip. You hit your head, you wake up, you don't know where you are, what time it is. But that's not the real one.
No, that's not it.
No, a time slip is generally, if you've ever seen, you've probably seen them on the internet and stuff, and sometimes on Facebook has them, where these people show up in these photographs, and they're completely out of the era. Like I saw one from the 1930s where somebody in a 1999-2000 outfit was literally in the picture just walking around. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't fit. I mean, you had everybody in blazers and in, you know, these nice suits and those derby hats and women in flapper outfits. And here's this guy in shorts and a tank top and just chilling out. It's like, how the heck did he get in this picture? So it's basically Photoshop. A time where you can somehow get into another dimension or another time frame, and you're caught somehow. So that's what I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll take that a step further, if you don't mind. Time slips, to me, aren't just you going to a different era, but I believe that it's also another era coming to you.
Very possible, yes.
Yeah. So, for example, a lot of the stories that I have seen and researched are people that are walking along and all of a sudden they find themselves walking into 1940s when they turn around and look back and it's the 2000s. You know, it's a time slip can be something that simple. Another aspect of a time slip is the famous time loss, where you are doing something and for whatever reason, it's 2 hours later and you don't know what happened. It's just time is gone. You have no recollection of what you did, what happened, where you were, any of that. And so that's usually called time loss, but it falls into the same category, I would think.
Now, see, that one happens a lot to me.
I think it happens to us all. We yes. just all of a sudden look at the clock and what just happened? But it's more of a paranormal thing. I have an example. I have a listener story if you'd like to hear it.
Shoot, let's hear it.
Okay. All right. This one comes from J.C. Hodges, and he lives in one of my all-time favorite cities, Austin, Texas. You ever been there?
I have been there, yes. It's gorgeous.
Isn't that a great city? One of my favorite things about Austin is the bats when they come out at night from under the bridge. It's just way cool. Love Austin. Anyway, JC writes this. Hey, Ron, I've been listening to your show since the beginning and thought it was high time I tell you that I love it and that I share a story with you. I call this tale, Houston, We Have a Problem. I was given 2 tickets to a Rocket game for my birthday. Austin is a little over 2-hour drive away from Houston. My girlfriend was already there for business, so the plan was to meet at the arena about 6 p.m. The game was at 7. Good, solid plan. I left a bit early in case of traffic and had traveled about an hour when my car stopped. And I do mean stopped. It was like someone had thrown the main breaker. All I could do was roll to the side of the road. I got out, checked the car over, and I couldn't find anything wrong with it. I should point out at this time that I'm a repair tech for Ford. Next, I took out my cell phone to call for a tow and to let my girlfriend know I was going to be late. The phone was about as useful as a brick. It had no power, and even stranger, my backup power stick was dead as well. And I know for a fact that I had just charged that up that morning. And now, for the strange part, the freeway was empty. Now, I shouldn't have to tell you that 71 West is never completely empty, ever. And this was 3:30 in the afternoon. I settled in and waited for a car to come. I saw some headlights coming towards me, and I readied myself to wave the car down. That is the last thing I remember. My next memory is driving up to the Toyota Center to where I usually park my car. The sign above the entrance read 5:45 p.m. I have tried so very hard to reconstruct what happened to me. Family and friends think I just blacked out, but I don't think so. I have no side effects, and nothing like this has happened to me since. It's been a few months now, and my girlfriend wants me to seek help. Thanks for your show. It helps, and it's nice to hear other folks have strange tales, knowing that I'm not the only one. Well, Jason, what do you think?
That's pretty interesting. Ironically, where he's coming from, I know this might sound like completely weird, but I like weird anyways, and it's up to anybody that wants to make a decision about something like this. But I've actually heard that sometimes if there's an alien ship around, or alien, any type of alien activity, that can happen to you. And where he's coming from in that long strip of Texas, a lot of there's a lot of activity out in that area.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe there wasn't some type of a alien presence nearby that may have just completely influenced him, even if it wasn't over him, maybe if it wasn't something he saw, or maybe he did see it. I've actually heard too that, you know, sometimes when people walk into their room and they forgot why they were there, that they actually met an alien and the alien kind of like zapped their brains, now like Men in Black. Now I don't know if that's true or not, but what if it is possible that they can do something like that? And, you know, he was just in the way, and that's why they didn't want him to remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be like a superpower, but still, that's a really cool story. I've never had anything like that happen to me, but I have forgotten where I was and what time it was. And, you know, time kind of just went away from me, but it wasn't anything like that. It was, you know, sitting here at my desk and probably just lost track of time. Is, you know, mine's a little bit more explainable, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has some key elements that that make this a typical time loss or time slip scenario. One, his car stopped.
Yeah.
Two, I have actually driven on 71 West myself, and there's no way that freeway's empty. Ever. No. I mean, that is a main thoroughfare there. And I don't know if you've seen it, but they really pride themselves on their freeways there, and especially in Austin area. They take such good care of them. They maintain them, and people use them for that reason. There's no way at 3:30 in the afternoon that freeway's empty.
No. And it's a gorgeous freeway. I've been on that freeway, and I know what you're talking about, because when they come on those, the overpasses, they're ornate. They're decorative. I mean, yeah. They're gorgeous.
Beautiful. I lived in Austin for work. For about 3 months, Intel had I don't know if they still do, but they had a factory there that they were starting up that they had bought. And I had spent 3 months there and had done some trainings there. I was teaching some stuff there. And that place is go, 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 constant, move, move, move. Somebody is doing something all the time. And it's nonstop there.
Yeah.
The nightlife is wonderful if you love music.
Oh, it's got some of the best country music in the world.
Oh, yes.
And regular music, too.
When you're walking down Main Street, you go from basically walking past bar to bar, and you're going to hear some kind of music going from each one. It isn't amazing, but we're off topic. The key element here is the fact that his car stopped.
Yeah.
Strangeness on the freeway. And then when he does wake up, he's driving his car again, coming into the Toyota Center. What's up with that?
Yeah, isn't that pretty crazy? I mean, it makes you wonder if he was driving all along and there were other people around him. He just didn't realize it. How did he not die or get into a car accident or kill somebody? You know, I mean, that's just, it's one heck of a thing to think about, isn't it?
It is.
How'd you get there? Because he still made it there on time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he was still driving.
Yeah. It's crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff.
It's almost like a parallel universe, you know, because they say that, like, whatever you have here, you can actually go to another spot, and it's the same things happening, but in a little bit of a different format.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, and this is also kind of the perfect scenario for someone to go to a professional hypnotist and have a regression done to find out what actually happened in those 2 hours, because I think you'd be a prime candidate. I'm not saying, JC, that you should go do that. But what I am saying is that if you are having lasting effects and you're not feeling right about yourself, maybe that is the answer for you to go and take a look at it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that my curiosity would make me want to go and find out what happened.
Oh, I'd have to do the same thing. That would drive me insane. I mean, I would love to know what happened between that time, if anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, generally, unless you have some kind of medical condition, you just don't black out for 2 hours.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Jason, do you have any other final thoughts on this? Anything that you want to say about time slips?
When it comes to the photographs, I'm a little bit weary about it. Only because of the fact that it is so freaking easy to manipulate a photo nowadays. Now, you see them on the 1800s photos and stuff. Now, why wouldn't anybody else recognize that along the way? Especially from the 1930s or 20s or even the 1800s, where somebody's completely different looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would think that would be something that they would pass down, and it'd be like this heirloom where somebody would be like, look what happened here, look what happened here, look what happened here. I just cannot see it not being something that's talked about more. So when I see these pictures, I tend to take them with a grain of salt. And it is easy to recreate ambrotype or a tintype or a carte de vis or any of those type of things that might have it in there. simply because of the fact that we still have that technology and we can still mimic things. I mean, you can get an old-fashioned photograph looking pretty much the same. You know, like I saw one with Kennedy where he was shot, the assassination, and there's this person sitting there completely out of scope at everybody else in the 1960s. And this person was from, like, you know, maybe around this time. And how did nobody there see them?
Yeah.
Nobody. And we took this picture. So, you know, it, like I said, you can easily manipulate it. So just because you see it, question it and really look at it and see if there's a possibility that it could be photoshopped, because it's easy enough to do nowadays.
Along that same lines, a couple years ago, for my nephew's birthday, I went and found a vintage photograph of the Rolling Stones. And then I found a picture of my nephew in clothing that would be acceptable in the 1960s.
You blended it in.
I blended it in, and to this day, people are amazed that this photograph features the Rolling Stones with my nephew's arm draped over Mick Jagger.
That's cool.
I'll put that in the show notes if you guys want to see that, because it is very easy to manipulate and to get people to believe. But I'm actually quite pleased with the photo I did of my nephew.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I even photoshopped all of the signatures of the various band members onto the photograph.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it looks like they all signed it. So, and I gave that to him for his birthday. So, yeah, don't believe photos. They're too easily faked.
Yeah.
But stories, that's another matter. And, you know, today's story, this person, JC, has absolutely no reason to make this up.
Right.
Right? I mean, there's no benefit to it. Why? Why would you do that? So I love the stories, but I'm with you. I don't believe the pictures.
Yeah.
Okay. So in a nutshell, Jason, I think we both agree this time that time slips are basically what you make of them. They're either a you being tossed into the past or the past coming at you, or you just lose time and you can't explain why.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Agreed. All right, Jason. Well, let's move on. What's going on with Gladys Goodies these days?
Well, not too much right now. I have been just trying to keep the status quo going and trying to just get through the COVID. You know, I'm trying not to do anything too brand new and dynamic just because of the fact that it's not necessarily the right time to do it. We have so many other things going on right now. We're trying to protect ourselves and, you know, make sure that we do what we need to do to stay safe and healthy. So I'm hoping that everything will kind of get back to normal here in a little bit. Maybe like around when school starts, I was thinking about maybe having like a back to school type of bash, maybe a contest. But right now, I think we're just going to stick with just, you know, the status quo and still trying to make dogs happy and cats happy and tails wagging. That's what I'm looking for.
I got a question. Is the shop actually open still or is it closed right now?
Right now, it's still online and I still do curbside deliveries if they're in the Tampa Bay area. If not, there's shipping. And if you spend over $30, there's free shipping.
Awesome. Do you have any specials right now? Anything that you want to share?
You can get some, like I think the Thanksgiving one has turkey, sweet potato, and the biscuits. Because you got to have bread, got to have sweet potatoes, and you got to have turkey. So it's the Thanksgiving special. So, you know, I got lots of different things. They're kind of creative names. I think it's a fun way of experimenting with the treats, getting more for less. So if you want to check those out, they're on the website.
Okay. Now I got one more question for you. Do you get the Ron's special discount on top of that savings?
Yes, you do. Anything that you order, you get the 25% off the entire order by using Ron's as the coupon code.
And what do they got to do? They just type in RONS. Is that my understanding?
That's right. And the discount code, I can't remember the exact how it's worded, but I think it's either discount code or promo code.
I think it's promo. I remember looking at that. So there you go, folks. You can get massive amounts of money off if you head on over to GladysGoodies.com and enjoy yourself picking out some cool stuff for your dog or cat. Well, Jason, I think that's it for this time.
I think so, too.
Next time, if you want us to talk about something, all you got to do is, like what Camille did, send us an email and say, hey, I'm interested in knowing about this or that, and Jason and I will tackle it. And if you have a story that you want us to read, get it to us and we'll read it. And of course, Jason is available for parties and... No. Just kidding.
You want me to come out of the cake or not?
Just kidding. I don't know what made me say that. But thank you for listening to us this time. And Jason, I hope things go well.
It will.
The Paranormal with Jason was brought to you by Gladys Goodies. Great treats for your pets to eat. If you need treats or swag for your little friends, head to GladysGoodies.com and indulge your pets. Don't forget to use your very own promo code, RONS, that's R-O-N-S, and you will receive a 20% discount on all of your purchases. That website again is GladysGoodies.com. Until next time, watch out for the paranormal.
Hot dog, Armor hot dog. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dog?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Soft kids, fizzy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dog.
Armor hot dog.
The dog kids love to bite.
Picking it up on the old banjo, put on the mustard and away we go.
When men fight, dogs they do say. But when kids fight, dogs they yell.
Hooray for hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dog kids love to fight.
That was episode number 448, and these folks are behind it all. Tom Williams, Ken Miyamoto, Blake Saunders, Tammy Wells, Camille McLaughlin, J.C. Hodges, and Jason Dowd. My thanks to you all. If you want to follow the podcast or the blog, head to ronsamazingstories.com. There you will find any of the links I mentioned and how to contact us. Do you want to help the show? The best thing you can do is to tell your friends all about it, and please leave reviews or feedback wherever you listen. Clicking that follow or like button makes us grow. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come again to find out what are Ron's Amazing Stories.